Today's reading is from 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, g'day folks. There's two things about today. And this sermon is, firstly, it's 1 John 5. Yes, we've been waiting to get to the end of 1 John. And the second thing, it's Pentecost. And at first glance, you might think, does 1 John 5 really have much to do with Pentecost? Do you know, surprisingly, it really does. The best way of describing this passage from 1 John 5 is, let's have real faith and let's not just fake it. And I think that's such an important thing to have. You know, I was asked about 20-odd years ago, I was working for Toyota at the time, and I was down in Canberra, and I was seeing one of the dealerships down there, and some of the staff came up to me and said, oh, Nick, do you know how to water ski? And I said, yeah, I know how to water ski. I'm not very good at it, but I know how to ski. And the fleet manager said to me, oh, well, I've got a boat. I've got a big V8 boat, and we're going out on the lake after work. Do you want to come? And I said, sure, I'll come. So we go down there, and his sales manager at the time, a new sales manager, and he'd turn around and he goes, ah, mate, I've been water skiing all my life. Know how to do this. And the guy, the salesperson I was with, the fleet manager said, well, do you want to do a wet start in the water or do you want to do a beach start? This guy says, mate, I'll do a beach start. Easy. Been doing beach starts all my life. He goes, well, you want one ski or two? He goes, oh, just one ski's fine, mate. One ski's fine. So he gets himself prepared, and he says, you know, make sure you give it everything it's got. He said, you know, I don't want to be sitting there dragged across the top of the water inappropriately, you know. So we get in this boat, and the guy I'm with just says to me, I don't think he realises what my boat can do. So he gives everything it's got and takes off. Then all of a sudden the cable just goes really tight. Well, this guy's holding on for dear life. He sails through the air. Now, when I say sails through the air, I reckon he was 15 to 20 metres before he hit the water. So he's just sailed. He kept holding on. And because he's sailed, there's been that tension in the string that's now pulled him forward. So he porpoises into the water and goes in. The rope goes tight again and it whooshes him out of the water. Only he was minus his swimming trunks. Pretty damn funny, actually. We turned the boat around, went back and got him. You know, you should never fake water skiing and fake that you actually know what you're doing. This guy actually faked it. He said, I've never done that before. It didn't look that hard. Oh, my goodness. You know, Christianity is not something you can fake. I really don't think you can. You've either, you know, as in this, I think that John's straight to the point in this message. He's pretty blunt. You either got it or you don't. You know, that's what we've been looking at. You either got God or you don't. And if you got God, then you'll be showing people that you got God. And if you don't have God, then, well, that's pretty evident because you're not going to love people. You're not going to honour people. You're not going to be treating people the right way. So either you've got it or you don't. And if you're faking it, well, it's not very good. You're not going to enjoy it. So if you've got it, hold fast to it. And that's what he also encourages. If you've got it, hold fast to it. Because it's just a faith in Jesus and it's the most beautiful thing to have. You know, God offers a most beautiful thing, and one of the very most important elements of Christianity is the exactness of what God offers and the exactness how we all receive and believe. There is no wiggle room. So don't sit there and go, oh, well, I'm just going to have a half-baked Christianity. You can't. You can't have half-baked. You got to have the whole thing. There's no half-truths in God. There's none. It all boils down to how willing we are to believe and absorb what God offers all who believe. That's it, all who believe. And if you're willing to believe it and absorb it all, then giddy up, it's going to be a great ride. See, he offers us all life eternal. He offers us the empowerment to do life with his Holy Spirit, living in us and helping us overcome sin, overcome brokenness in the world. And he puts a purpose and a meaning that's restored into our lives. And he gives us the ability to conquer sins, it says. All of this through Jesus Christ. All of this through Jesus Christ. However, always remember that God offers plenty but never forces anything. So don't sit there and say, oh, he's going to force changes in my life. No, no, he offers change for the better. But he doesn't force it. See, face it, God wants to do our best in life with him, in partnership with him, and he wants to partner with us, all people of the world. And it's a free choice. It's a beautiful thing. It is a free choice. Religion forces conformity. It's true. Religion wants you to have forced conformity. And religion demands unquestioning following. That's religion. God gave us a freedom of choice. So he offers, always offers us a smorgasbord of good for our lives, but is still our choice to take it up and engage this, and we're kind of crazy not to. And he's also okay if you have some doubts along the way. In fact, it says that in the scriptures. It's you can have doubt. You know, and for people not to have doubt, it means they're not interrogating the faith. It means we're not actually allowing intelligent, critical thinking of Jesus. And we need to have that. See, if you just have unquestioning following, that's religion. If you're allowed to question what you're doing and why you're doing it, how you're doing it, that's God, and it's a beautiful thing. Last week, we actually heard this wonderful little phrase, which is, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. No. So what gets in the way of our following? Well, potentially, the list is unending. The list is unending, but we seem to think it's a whole list of commands of do's and don'ts. But I'm actually going to tell you what I think are some of the top barriers to complete, the top barriers that really hinder our ability to listen to God or be partnered with God. The first, narcissism. The second, pride. The third, hedonism. Just having the big joys of life everywhere. Then there's materialism. Affluenza, wanting to have more than what the neighbours even have. And lastly, I'd say is ignorance. Oh, I can keep going on though. I could keep going on, but I think they're the big ones that get in the way of our following. You know, society says if it feels good, do it. I mean, the influence of secular society draws us to some form of self-indulgence naturally. It does. You know, and if it feels good, do it. She'll be right. Doesn't really matter, you know? That's the kind of attitude we have here in Australia. And it's a sad thing. But it can actually be very deceptive for some Christians who go, oh, you know, she'll be right. Well, really? God gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can be overcomers of sin, sickness and brokenness. So why does this wrestling against the flesh, why is it so hard for some of us? Maybe it's because society says indulge and don't restrain. And so the hard thing is that we end up with family and friends and just society saying, just indulge, enjoy it. Enjoy the good things of life while you're alive. God produces good things just so you can drink richly of that cup. What does it say in Corinthians? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And I think sometimes we miss the phrase of not everything is beneficial. So sometimes we just need to work out whether this is beneficial for our lives, the lives of others around us. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just our own selfish hedonism. But John's onto this challenge, isn't he? In this book, John is onto this challenge. Firstly, he affirms again the assurance of this group's faith in Jesus Christ and how this will result in eternal life. I don't think we actually hear that enough in our churches about God's desire for us that he has. He has this. He actually wants us to have us with him. He's prepared a heavenly place for each one of us. That's right, for each one of us, there's a heavenly place. And also, we don't hear enough that God is listening and responding. It says in verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have because we've asked it of him. But hold on, according to his will. Are we trying to tune into God's will, or are we just going to give God our will all the time and use him like the holy vending machine? He's not a holy vending machine. So if you struggle with your own walk, have you spoken to God about it? Because I'll tell you what his will is. His will is that you would walk closer with him and walk more deeply with him, more honestly with him. So if you're struggling in that area, why not say, God, I want to walk more closely. I want to read my scriptures more. That's his will. He's always going to have that will for your life. Well, you answer those prayers, look out. He might wake you up at strange times to read the Bible. But how does John, if we just come back to this passage, how does John deal with sin? It's a bit different to what you expect, isn't it? And I don't think the church really likes to have this passage out there very much. You ready for it? Is it mortal? Will it kill them? No? Then pray for them. That's it. Is it mortal? Will it kill them? No? Then pray for them. Yeah. Pray for them. Religion often says, sin is sin. Get rid of the person. Because we don't want to catch their disease in our church. That's what religion says. We don't want to catch their disease in our church. And that, my brothers and sisters, is really sad. What does John say? What does it say in the word itself? Is it mortal? Will it kill them? No. Then pray for them. You know, there is a part of this that we've got to remember, that we need to be accountable. And we've got to be accountable to God. So you can lie to your friends, but you can't lie to God about how you're really going. God just knows, doesn't he? And God loves dealing with our sin. See, God knows all, which on one hand is confronting, because he knows all. And on the other hand is liberating, because so it actually means that we can go up into the throne room and talk to him without the fear of his, his reactions removed, because he actually sits there and says, actually, are you coming to me with your sin? Come. I'm ready for you. I'm ready for it. I just want to let you know how I sent Jesus to forgive you. Do you remember that? Because I do. Come talk to me about your sin. Let's see if we can deal with it. And he deals with it there and then. See, his reaction was sending Jesus to bring us all home. Not just some of us home, but all home. You know, God knows us so well. You remember this phrase in the scriptures? He told me everything I did. Do you remember who said that? It was the Samaritan woman at the well, speaking of Jesus. See, God knows everything you and I ever did or didn't do, and that we should or shouldn't have done. He knows it all. And I find immense peace in my prayer times, knowing he can tell me everything I ever did and still forgive me. If God can tell me everything I ever did and he can still forgive me, then this is the most magnificent of things. Brothers and sisters, we are not orphans. Folks, God's mercy and grace again is poured out on us through Jesus, our Saviour and Deliverer. Then he calls us family. He empowers us with his very own Holy Spirit. Amen. With his very own Holy Spirit. And today we celebrate exactly that. The same Spirit that did the miraculous, spoke words of life to people, calmed a storm and so much more. This is the same Spirit that lives in you and me today, empowering us to be God's people here in this world. When we get to the end of this letter, though, it says just a very simple sentence, doesn't it? It's quite a funny little sentence. It seems random. It seems random, but it's not. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. That's it. I think if Paul was writing, Paul would have had about 25 sentences for that one. But John, dear children, keep yourself from idols. Now, we could smile comfortably and say, well, that's not us, because we don't have any idol worship down here, do we? Ah. I think what he's saying is, what are the things that take our focus off God that are of this world? Maybe that's your idol. Maybe John's just saying, what are the things that are taking your focus off God? Because that's what your idols are. And so sometimes we need to just get that little bit of refocus happening, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and can reveal those things to us and help us overcome that brokenness in our life. So why did John write this letter? Well, he heard that one of his precious places of faith and ministry had hit some bumpy times. Could have been your church, could have been my church, could have been a lot of churches I've been in. And he writes to stir, to encourage, to strengthen, to chastise, to instruct, and the list just goes on. But he wants their balance restored, and he wants their hope restored. He wants them to be able to stand on their own two feet and continue to do wonderful ministry and mission. He just wants them restored. See, John reminds us that we wrestle not with the flesh and the bone, but against the spiritual principalities and powers of this world. He also reminds us that God has given us his Spirit that makes us overcomers of these powers. And that's the most beautiful thing, amen? See, do you dare to draw on God's Spirit? Or do you just continue to bump along and do things your own way? Today's the day of Pentecost. It's the day to remember that God doesn't want us to just bump along and do things our own way. He wants us to dare. He wants to dare us to draw in his Holy Spirit that we could have the fullness of life in all that we do. See, today as we celebrate that day of the Holy Spirit coming, it's a good reminder, isn't it? I think it's become a wonderful festival in our churches. However, it was never meant to be a festival. It was meant to be a day of engagement with God's Holy Spirit. But some of us like the festival aspect more than the wow of God. So maybe it's a day when our spirits cry out, "Let your will be done through me by your Holy Spirit, God. Let your will be done through me by your Holy Spirit, God." Yeah. Well, brothers and sisters, thanks for this wonderful journey you've been on with me as we've gone through 1 John. Maybe you'll go home, or maybe you're sitting at home going, "Oh, it's a good book." Maybe you just want to sit down and read it through one more time and ask God, "What can you teach me on this reading that I may have missed previous readings?" And be thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to overcome sin, because God's given you exactly that. And remember, brothers and sisters, if your brother sins and it's not mortal, go pray for him. Go pray for him. And may the Holy Spirit do his amazing stuff in your life and their life. Amen.